Let's do it. Phones away. We are on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. On your mark, get set. Go. Nisdak Nikev. There are two examples of a psul and an esrig that are if it is cracked or if it has a hole. Nikavim, Nikavim, Chalulim, Chalulim. Right? Nikavim means holes. We say in Asher Yatzar, Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with many holes. What are Chalulim, Chalulim? Hollow areas. What kind of hollow areas do we have in our bodies? And don't say the head.
Veins.
Organs. All the organs that we have on the inside of our bodies are empty on the inside. They're there to, for other things to be in them. Those are the chalulim. So we have all kinds of things. If they need to be closed, they need to be open. That's how they have to work. There are many of them. That's why we say it in double. Nikavim, nikavim, and chalulim, chalulim. So if it's nistak, it's cracked, it's nikev, it has a hole. Tani. Ula barchanina nikev nekev mefulash b'mashahu. Nikev, it has been pierced. Nekev, with a hole. Mefulash. Mefulash means all the way through. B'mashahu. Then the shi'ur for when that is problematic is even the smallest amount. So even a pin that goes all the way through the esrig from one side to the other, even if it's a very small hole, is still a problem. It is a psul in an esrig. There are some rishonim that want to say mefulash means all the way to the core, not all the way to the other side, but, you know, it sounds a push-up shot. It means all the way to the other side. Which ain't a mefulash, and if it is not all the way to the other side, it's just a local piercing of the esrig, so then it's b'ke'isar. It's the whole, the coin that's called an isar. If it's smaller than that, since it doesn't go all the way through, then it's not problematic. Okay. By Rava, Rava asked, "Nol du ba'esrig simani chayfa mahu?" If we're born in an esrig, signs of a treifa, what's the halacha? It sounds at first like a very strange question, because an esrig can't be a treifa. A treifa are those things that animals used to have in times of Chazal, they wouldn't live out the year. That's a treifa. The sprogim don't live out the year anyhow, you know? They just start to shrivel up and become hard. So what is he referring to? So obviously he's trying to draw a parallel between certain simanim, certain, I don't know, things that are problematic for an animal, it would be defined as a treifa on an animal, those same things, what would be if they were in an esrig? Maika mivayile. What is he asking? E niklaf, if it's been peeled, you have an animal, and certain things have been peeled off of the animals, there's organs, tanina, then we learned that in a Mishnah already, that's problematic. So you don't need to compare something that's peeled off and ask, well, what if it has simani treifa? You're right, it's simon of a treifa, but it has nothing to do with us, because the Mishnah already said it's a psul. So well, that's not a question. In nisdak, if you're talking about that something, part of the animal has been cracked, well, we have that in the Mishnah by Esrig also already. Tanina, we already learned that. In nikev, if you're talking about a hole, tanina, we learned that also. So what simani treifa would you be referring to that we need to know about the Esrig? Ki kamivayile, when he was asking this, Kiddeula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He was basing it on something that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He wanted to know if this particular treifa issue would be problematic by an esrig. What is it? Reya. What's a reya? The lungs. Lung. That's why it's called glatt kosher, right? The lungs are smooth. That's the theory behind it anyway. The question is, what exactly is glatt kosher rizman is that? But okay. Beis Yosef. You ever see sometimes on a package that says Beis Yosef? No. Beit Yosef? You always get that stuff, right? You shvardi? Yeah? You makbid for shchita the Beis Yosef? Right, that's your mom's doing. I get it. Anyway, so you'll notice sometimes in the store that it says it's according to the Beit Yosef, Beis Yosef. So
maybe it does. Maybe.
I think in general, Sfardim are makbid for that, and Ashkenazim are a little more makel on things. That sometimes you'll have shchita. Sometimes you'll have something on the lungs, and you can peel it off, and it won't make a hole. So then, you know, it's not exactly what we would normally imagine is glatt kosher, but it is because, you know, there's no hole in the lungs, there's nothing problematic. Whereas Beis Yosef means that the lungs were mamish glatt. I mean, they were smooth, there was nothing there, you know, whatsoever at all. Okay, but be that as it may. You have a lung, shenishpecha kitoin. very unusual. I am certainly not familiar with what this means in real life, in biology. But apparently you could have a lung that has begun to, almost the muscles and everything around has begun to dissolve, and it's become liquid in the lung. So it can be poured out like a pitcher. So the lung can be poured. It's not talking about this liquid in the lungs. It means that the material around the lungs itself has begun to liquefy. Kshayra.
Like a disease or something?
It seemed like it was a disease. It sounded like the bronchia just disintegrated.
Yeah.
It caused the liquefying.
No, but it might have been some sickness, actually. It seems like then, because then later it talks about how the animal can heal from it.
Well, so that's what the halacha is that if it's so liquefied, nonetheless, kshayra, the animal is kasher. V'amar Rava, v'hu dekaima simpoino. That is when what's called the simpoino, that is left, that remains. Why, what's that? So they have all kinds of, in the lungs are bronchial tubes, there are all kinds of pipes that allow the air to go back and forth and whatnot. So as long as those are still present and functional, so then that's when it's still kasher. But if those pipes are no longer in existence, so then the animal is a treifa because of all this liquefaction process. Hachamai, here by Esrog Mai, what's the halacha? What? Esrogim don't breathe, they don't have bronchial tubes. What?
I'm waiting for just a side point for Shkita. Have they? Even knowing if it's kosher or not.
Correct. So when you shech the animal, when you kill the animal, when you shech the animal, then you're going to check for the siman etreifa. If you discover a siman etreifa, obviously after you shechted it, so then you have no choice. You got to get rid of the animal.
And they sell it to another
dog food, you know, Purina, whatever. Whatever the they have arrangements with other things. But the question is, what in the world does that have to do with esrog,
It's like a sack.
So the Gemara compares it to the inside of the esrog.
Right,
the esrog can have seeds. Right. So the Gemara compares this to, as long as the seeds and the internal structure of the esrog is still functional, so then that would be a parallel. But once the insides of the esrog start to become totally liquefied, including the seeds and those things, so then should we compare it? Dilma hasam hu dele shalit be avira hader bar. Maybe the reason why, as long as all of the tubes are still there, maybe the reason the animal's kosher is because since the wind and there's no, it's not going to get an infection from the wind, or the wind's not going to do anything to it because it's on the inside of the animal. And therefore the animal potentially could heal. Right? Bari means to be healthy. So dele shalit be avira, since not controls it, the wind, hadar, it goes back, bari, and heals. Maybe that's the reason why it's still kasher, because the animal could still heal. Aval hacha, but here when we're talking about the esrog shalav de avira, when it's not an internal thing, if it's exposed, it's exposed. If that's the esrog, that's the esrog. It's just, it's in the air. In which case, shalav de avira, the wind does have control over it. Tzruchim esrachas, it's not going to possibly get better. It's simply going to surely spoil. It's going to rot. And therefore what? And therefore, even though, as long as the tubes are still there, in an animal it's kasher, but in an esrog it doesn't make a difference. Once the esrog has begun to liquefy, so then there's nothing to talk about. It would be puzzle, because it's never going to get better. And that's the reason why the animal is still kasher, is because we assume, as long as those tubes are still there, it would have gotten better.
How do we know that the esrog would liquefy?
If what?
How would we know if an esrog would liquefy? It's on the inside of it.
I guess you could tell from the outside. We'll see.
Mushy.
Gets mushy. Yeah. We'll see soon that there is even an opinion that you could even eat some of your esrog and still use it on sukkahs. So it could be that there are scenarios where you could even tell even on internal things.
See that movie?
I think I did see it.
Yeah, surprisingly, I've actually seen it. It's like a movie
about
a guy eating his esrog.
Yeah.
Idilma,
or maybe Leishna, maybe it's all the same, that as long as there's a certain functionality on the inside, meaning the seeds are still there or whatever, still functioning similar to those windpipes, so then maybe it would still be a valid esrog. We're not sure. So how do we figure it out? We go to to the video. Let's go. Toshma. Let's try to prove it from Bryce's, Tosefta's, and other sources from Tanoim. Toshma. Come in here. Esrig, Tapuach, Saruach, Kavush, Shaluk, Kushi, Lavan, Umenumar, Pasul. So it's a list of psulim and an esrig. What are they? Tapuach does not mean an apple. It means swollen.
Swollen.
You know, Rahmana Litzlan, you know, the same terminology is used when a person, Rahmana Litzlan, is malnourished, so then the body actually swells. So that's tapuach. It means there's something very bad happening, and there's a swelling due to whatever exactly that is. I don't know if it's gas, I don't know exactly. But whatever it is, it's not a good thing. Saruach means spoiled, rotted. Kavush, I mean, you know what kavush? Yeah, pickled or marinated. Anytime that you leave meat or other things in a liquid for, let's say, overnight, or sometimes it could be shorter. So, you know, the halach is 24 hours, but sometimes it could even be shorter depending on what it is. So that's what's called kavush. So if you have meat that was sitting in milk for 24 hours, say even though you didn't cook it together, and that's really basa v'chalav, it has to be cooked together, this is called kavush. Pickled or marinated. Kavush kimavushal, and that's considered to be cooked together. That has very interesting nafkaminas in halacha.
3 hours.
I don't know. But that's kavush. Shaluk is when something is cooked so much, it becomes mushy. You know, sometimes you cook vegetables just right, they're cooked, but they're still nice and crispy. And then sometimes you overdo it, and they become mushy. That's shaluk. Kushi is a black esrig. Black could be a sign that it's just rotted or something like that, but it also could be an esrig from a place called Kush. Shtikl machlekes. Maybe you can Google it, you know, when you're done with your game, maybe.
In this book, it's black.
Yeah, it means a black esrig. I'm just saying that, you know, in the context, one might have thought that it meant that, put it away! Now! You might have thought that it means it's rotted or moldy or something like that. But we'll see later on, the Gemara is going to come back to it, that Kush is a location. Nowadays, you know what Kush refers to?
Yeah.
What?
Black
oil. No, the place, the location.
Iraq.
Eretz Kush?
Ethiopia.
The assumption is Bizman is that it refers to Ethiopia. Based on some comments of Rashi and other comments over here, it's not 100% clear if it refers to that, or maybe there's another place called Kush, maybe it refers... Anyway, this is discussed. What exactly does Kush refer to?
Some places in Israel, yeah. When we say we've got Kushi, which means brownie, but
like they make it's not black cake. Yeah, what can I tell you? Anyway, there are certain words and terms that sometimes people use, and sometimes they know what they mean, and sometimes they don't even know what they mean. Right? He gypped me. You know what that means?
Yeah, gypsy.
Gypsy. It comes from the word gypsies.
Why can't that be like...
It's a very derogatory statement. What?
Why can't that be like...
It's not where it comes from. It's just not the etymology of the word. It comes from the... He Jewed me. Jewed me and gypped me is the Jews and the gypsies. That's where it comes from.
I was going to say it comes from to
Jew. Etymology of the word gyp. It comes from gypsies. Correct. You can take a look. Anyway, we have to be careful the way we talk. But in any case, so that's what it means. Kushi, we're going to see, is that this is an esrog that comes from the land of Kush. We're going to see why that's significant. Because if you have an esrog that grows differently, it looks different, you know, an esrog has to be hadar. Well, is beauty in the eyes of the beholder or not in the eyes of the beholder? Are there objective halachas of hadar that may revolve around this issue? Lavan, it is white. Menumar, we all know menumar, right? What's menumar?
Speckled.
Pasul. Those are all psulim. Esrog kikadur. What's a kadur?
A ball.
A ball. Esrog, that's a ball. Why is an esrog a ball?
Ball.
It's round. It's very round. It's not the right shape. An esrog is typically not round. Pasul. V'yesh oimrim afa tium. What's tium? It means a twin. Siamese twin esrogim. Esrog boiser. Anybody know what boiser means?
Yes. It's like I'm cheating.
Alright, so cheat, whatever.
It's like one of the early stages of growth.
Right, meaning it's not what?
But not a
ripe.
It's not ripe yet.
Yeah.
So Paisel means it was picked too early and it's not ripe. Rabbi Akiva Paisel. Rabbi Akiva says that's no good. This goes back to a conversation we had a long time ago. If you have something that's not ripe yet, is it defined yet as a fruit? At what point does it be defined as a fruit? I remember I was walking with my wife. I remember I told you that my father used to be the manager of this place called the Homowack in upstate New York. So we had the opportunity to, yeah, you remember it? So we were walking outside, and it was, I guess, late winter. It was still a little chilly outside, and it was winter. And there was a couple older than us that were walking ahead of us, and we overheard their conversation. And she's like, oh, look! The buds are coming out on the trees. You know, there's like snow on the ground and there's buds coming out of the trees. So her husband looks at her and he's like, it's the middle of winter. Those aren't buds. So they were there for Shalom Bayis Pelli. Anyway, so I had, wow. There's like a whole lump that's happening over here, right? She sees buds, but he says, it doesn't have a din of a bud because it's still winter. You can't have a bud until it's springtime. It's therefore it's not considered a bud, even though it looks like a bud. Anyway, so here you have a bud on a tree. It is a esrig. It's a pre, is it not? Not necessarily. Because at some point it becomes defined as a fruit, and at some point it's still defined as just part of the branch or a bud or a leaf or a flower or whatever it is before that. So Rabbi Akiva holds that an esrog that's in this state, and you have to define it, when exactly is it, but boiser, whatever stage of development that's in, Rabbi Akiva held was not considered a fruit yet, and therefore it is puzzle to be used as an esrog, because an esrog has to be a pre-eitz hadar, and this is not pre-eitz. You could have argued that, and the Chachamim to a certain extent do. But Chachamim achshirin, Chachamim say it's kosher. Now, I think everyone would agree that the flower, fruits grow from flowers. What?
The plant will either grow flowers or a fruit.
Well, we need a botanist in here, but I think most, if not all, most fruits, first the tree produces a flower, and then the leaves, the petals fall off, and from that grows a fruit. They'll take a look. So everyone, I think, would agree that in the flower stage, it ain't no fruit. It starts to grow a fruit and turns into a fruit, but how would we know? And I think everyone would agree to that. At some point, it becomes a fruit. At some point, it for sure was just a flower. And then there's going to be gray area in between, where it's somewhere in between. And that's called boiser. And that's what the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva arguing over. Is that considered yet to be? What stage does it become a fruit? Rabbi Kiva holds boiser is not good enough. Chacham say, no, that's already considered to be a fruit. Gidla b'defus. If you raised your esrog in a... Is there a better word for this? A mold?
Yeah, no, if it was a mold...
A casing? Is that the best word? A mold?
Think about you had a mold for like in shape of a triangle.
Yeah, cool.
And you had it growing within that mold, eventually
shaken. Right, so that sounds like a cool idea. You could market this. You grow the esrogim in certain molds. As they grow, they develop the shape of the actual mold itself. So you could have like Haman esrogim and, you know, whatever, you know, you can make whatever you want. Sorry, that is apparently a problem. Gidlo bidfus, if you grew it, what? Oh, you could have sukkah decorations. That would be a winner. Built in lulav esrog hadasim and aravos, you could have all of them in one. Wazel kimin bria acheres, and you made it like another creation. You made like another creation puzzle. So let me ask you a question, Chevra. Is this one thing or two things? You grew it in a mold and made it like another creation. Are those two separate things, or is that the same thing? The phrase you made it in a mold. And you made it like something, look like something else. Are those two separate psulim, or that's one psul?
One psul. It doesn't look like an esrog.
Right. So that ultimately is what we're going to say, is that it, what I'm saying is, imagine you have a nice, perfectly shaped esrog mold. So you want this esrog to look like the perfect esrog. So you made it, you know, it doesn't look like anything else. It looks like an esrog. It just happens to be the way that you produced it is almost artificially because the mold gave it the shape. Is that a problem? Is there something against perfection around here? So that's one phrase in the Gemara. And you made it look like something else. The problem of the mold is that it doesn't look like a regular esrog anymore, which probably goes back to the same idea as esrog kikadur. If it's like a bowl, if it's so round, that's just not how they grow. Are you still looking up about the gypsies?
I found it. You were right,
bro. I know. So maybe you should check how much your phone activity is going on now.
I actually checked today.
Yesterday was like,
put it away.
Crazy phone accident. But it was mostly like Zynga poker.
Okay. So why do we quote all of this? Why did we quote all of this? The Gemara had said a question. What was the question? We wanted to know about this esrog trefa. So the esrog has started to liquefy. One time, this was a miserable experience. I spent a lot of money getting an esrog for myself and my son. He was bar mitzvah. I wanted to get him something nice, so I spent the money on an esrog. They sold it to us wrapped in plastic, and it was a couple of days, I guess, before Sukkot. So we left him alone. And when we came back a few days later and opened it up, it was soft and moldy. It was Erev Sukkot, a few hours until Sukkot, and the esrog was soft and moldy because they had wrapped it in a plastic bag. And we had left it like that because we assumed they knew what they were doing. And wow, were we upset. Okay, no, Minas Shemayim, we went shopping, we got another one. It was also very beautiful. At a discount because it was Erev Sukkot. Anyway, but I wasn't able to return it. I wasn't able to do anything. I lost a lot of money on that esrog. Also, Minas Shemayim. But it was interesting. It taught me a very interesting lesson that you got to be careful. You can't wrap esrog in plastic. That's a good lesson to learn. But they do get mushy, and they could liquefy on the inside. So that was the question. So what about as long as the seeds are still intact? Do we say that that's kosher like the animal, or is the animal different? It's only kosher because it could get better, and the esrog is never going to get better. So we brought this. Well, how does this prove anything? Katani Mia. So we learn in this quote, however, tapuach saruach, two phrases for something that is spoiled or rotting. Tapuach, I said, meant it's like swollen, and saruach means rotted. So what's the difference between the two? What do they refer to? My love, is it not tapuach mibachutz? That tafuach, which usually means swollen, is something recognizable on the outside. So doesn't that mean that it's rotting on the outside? It's visibly rotting on the outside? V'saruach mibifnim. And saruach means it's not visible on the outside, but you can feel it or something like that. There's an indication that it has liquefied on the inside. So what do you... I don't know where. Maybe next time you use your phone, you can look up where tapuach comes from.
They don't do Hebrew.
Wait, it's tapuach. It's not tapuach.
Right. But it's the same letters.
It was not talking about an apple.
No, it's not talking about an apple. The question is, are the two words related? That's the question. A gavaniya is a tomato. You know what an agav means?
Are we trying to find you?
Agav. Means the back, right? Your back. Ben Yehuda made up this term for tomato. It didn't exist, right? Because you know what he thought tomatoes looked like? I'll leave it up to your imagination. Isn't it true that the buach is that it is somehow recognizable on the outside, and saruach means on the inside? And if that's true, then once the inside becomes liquefied, apparently it doesn't make a difference what the story is. It is puzzle. So haven't we proven? We have an answer now. So it doesn't make a difference. The seeds, it doesn't make a difference. Anything. Once it's boiled on the inside, then we're finished. Then we're finished. So it is different than the trefa by an animal. My answer is loy. Nope. Idi v'idi mibachutz. Both tafuach and saruach means it's something that's rotted on the outside, not something that's going on the inside. Well, then what do you need two terms for? What do you mean? Not a question. One is when it becomes, I don't know if it means swollen or something's affected it on the outside, even though it didn't spoil, even though it's not rotting. So I don't know if it means it started to become maybe mushy or something on the outside, but it doesn't, there's no signs of rot yet. And the other case means it had this simani of sircha, it rotted, but there's no signs of this swollenness or squishiness or whatever exactly that refers to.
Our original question was what's the trefa? And then we said, it's like the animal's lungs. This has nothing to do with the inner part of
Yeah, it's a mashal. In other words, when it comes to the simen of the animal, we're saying the animal has these lungs, and the lungs can sometimes liquefy. So we're comparing that to the esrog on the inside. The esrog can sometimes liquefy, starting on the inside. That's the answer. So there's no proof from here. So Gemara says, you can't prove anything. We have no proof anymore. We're left with our question. So now, what would be the case if the esrog was liquefied on the inside, but the seeds and stuff were still there? So what do you say? Is that upsul or is that not upsul? So we don't have a clear-cut answer to that. Amar Mar, the master said, in our quote from this braisa, esrog that's kushi is pasul. A black esrog is pasul. V'hatanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa, kushi kasher, that an esrog that's black is kasher? Well, make up your mind. You can have it both ways. That's like black and white, you know what I mean? Is this thing on? Anyway, Daima Lakushi Pasal. So my answer is, oh, the Braisa says, Kushi Kasher, Daima Lakushi Pasal. If it is actually Kushi, it's Kasher. But if it's Daima, then it's Pasal. Amar Abaye. Ki Tanan, Nami, Masnisen, Daima Lakushi Tanan. Well, that's why there's a second half of the Braisa. The Braisa says if it's kushi, it's kasher, but if it's daima lekushi, it's pasul. So Baye says, ah, so something that's called similar to kushi is pasul, and that's what our Braisa really meant. And when we said it's pasul, it meant it's not actually black, it's like it's black. What does that mean?
Because if it grows in kush, then it's supposed to be black. But if it grows in moss, it's here.
What? That's how they grow, naturally.
Yes, how it is. But if you have a black esrog growing in Israel, a problem.
So what does it mean, diamond?
If it looks like an Ethiopian one, but it doesn't actually grow in Ethiopia.
So is it rotting? Why is it black? So, at least one possibility. Where's the Rashi? Oh, here. You see this, the first wide line in Rashi's? Rashi says, Pasul shenidmehu. You know what nidmeh means? Dome? It's similar. Shenidmehu, and he has some funny French word or something. Well, kushi atzmo yonatam dekasher do'archehu. It's actual kushi. Then it's kosher because that's the way it grows. So what is this exactly? I don't know. How do you say it? What do you have a good way? Well, let's go to the second answer and we'll come back to it. So what's the other answer? Rava Amar Lekasha Halan Vahalahu. What's that answer? What's Halan Halahu? One is lan, that's us, and one lahu is them. See, if you live in Eretz Kush, then this is a normal esrog, so it's fine. But if you don't live in Eretz Kush, you live somewhere else, then it's not normal, and it is pasul. So are these different answers or the same answer? No, obviously, two different answers. What's the difference between these two answers? What? Iran, Iraq. Yeah, why does that make a difference? What in the world is going on over here?
Because it's always better to do what's best looking. Like it's, let's say you had the option to drive a bad car or a great car. The great car I want. Or like it's not even bad or bad. It's more like dangerous or safe situation. It's better to do the safe rather than the non-safe.
So in other words, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, sort of. But wherever you are, there's certain standards. So the esrogim don't grow like that around here. So if an esrog grows like that, it's weird. Right? So halan halahu. If that's how all the esrogim grow, so then that's normal. And that's beautiful. So apparently there's a din of hadar that really does depend on where you are. That's a huge chiddush, no? I thought they're like standardized. Like, you know, you open an Esther book and like, you know, these are kosher and these are not kosher. These are considered hadar. These are not considered hadar. Rav has a huge chiddush that it all depends on where you are. Hadar is subjective. Okay, so what was Abaye saying? What was Abaye saying then? Dome. What's the difference between these two? Come on, somebody help me out. I need something to throw.
I was looking at Jewish facts.
These are Jewish facts! This is the Gemara!
That's
a good idea.
What's the difference between Abaye and Rava? Don't tell me their names! What's the difference between the two opinions here? Amiel, what do you say? What is Rava saying and what is Abaye saying? Abaye is saying Doime, and Rava says, depends on where you are. Depends on where you are. If you live here, you live there. What is the difference between these two opinions? What is going on here?
I don't see a difference.
Is there a difference between me telling you there's an Esrog that grows here in... There's an Esrog that grows here in New York, and this Esrog grew black. Is it Dome to the ones that grew in Eretz Kush?
No.
Well, it's black, and the ones that grew there are black. So it's Dome. It's a defect. But it's like those ones that grew over there. What if I actually go to Eretz Kush, I purchase one of their black esrogim, and I bring it back to New York?
Oh, but in New York you'd be able to get a regular one, which would be from here, that wouldn't be black, so maybe you shouldn't do that.
So, what does Rava mean when he says halan halahu? So if he really means it depends on all the esrogim where you are, then if you go to Eretz Kush and bring back a black esrog, it's pasul. Because halan halahu. But if you would live there, it would be fine. Because it's normal. But what if it grew black where you are? I don't know. It's dome, but okay, whatever. Maybe it's not the most beautiful, but who says it's a psul? According to Rava, a one that's actually from Eretz Kush that you have in New York is pasul. According to Abaye, maybe it's also pasul. I'm not sure. But I know one thing that's different between them, it would seem, is that if you have an esrog that grows in New York and it's just kind of black and it looks like the ones that grow in Eretz Kush, well, it ain't one of the ones from Eretz Kush. So according to Abaye, it's pasul because it looks like it. And according to Rava, I don't know. Who says it's pasul? Halan halahu. That's one way to look at it. Okay, but in any case, you have to figure out the difference between Abaye and Rava. Esrog abayser. Remember we said an esrog that is not ripe yet. Rabbi Kiva said it's pasul, and Chacham said it's kasher. Amar Rabba. Rabba said Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Gavarecha. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon actually said the same thing, which is always nice when people agree. Rabbi Kiva had the Amara, and Rabbi Kiva, we just quoted him. Rabbi Shimon Mahi. What is the thing that Rabbi Shimon said that sound that is the same thing Rabbi Kiva said? This lands, we learned in Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon exempts the Esroigim when they are very small. What exempts from what? What's he talking about? From, is he talking about Sukkis? He's not. He's talking about Meiser. He exempts it from Meiser. Does anybody know where this Mishnah appears? Can you figure it out? Figure it out. There's a way to figure it out by looking in your Gemara. Where? How do you figure this out? It's a Mishnah, so where's the Mishnah from? Kalem. Oilis. Uxen. Yeah? Meisters? You just guess that?
Is that an actual thing?
Yeah, Meisters. I have a gimel. You guys are looking at Dalit? I have a gimel there. Ma'aser's Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. You guys see it? Maseres Hashas. Anyway, it's over there. That's where the Mishnah is located. So it's talking, you guess what? It's not in what Mishnah? It's not in Mishnah's Sukkah. It's in Ma'aser's, because he's talking about an Esrog that is not ripe yet. Guess what? Is it Chayav and Ma'aser or not Chayav and Ma'aser?
Yeah.
What does he say? Rabbi Shimon Poiter. What's Poiter? He exempts it from Meiser. Why? Why? Why is he exempted from Meiser? It's not a fruit yet. No din hadar. It's not a fruit yet. You have to take Meiser from trees? From wood? From leaves? From flowers? There's no Meiser from flowers. Meiser's from produce. So when it becomes a fruit, you're going to have to give Meiser. If it's not a fruit yet, no Meiser. So that's what Rabbi Shimon said. So guess what? That's exactly what Rabbi Kiva said. They both agree that an Esrog at the stage that's called Boiser is this thing on. Is an Esrog at the Boiser stage is exempt because it is not a fruit. And Rabbi Kiva said that at Boiser stage it's not a fruit. What was Rabbi Kiva talking about? And therefore what? Rabbi Shimon says, and therefore there's no Meiser. And Rabbi Kiva said, and therefore can't be Yosef with Lulav and Esrog on the Arba Minim. But it's the same principle that has two nafkaminas. The principle is it's not a fruit yet. One nafkamina is Rabbi Shimon is Nochiv Meiser. The other nafkamina is Rabbi Akiva. You can't be Yotzei. Arba Minim. Rabbi Shimon Poiter says, Roigim Bekat Nusan. Amar Le Abaye. So, Rabbah was the one that said Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon agree. Yes? Abaye, who liked to argue with Rabbah, right? Amar Le Abaye. Abaye said to Rabbah, how do you know? Dil malaihi. Maybe that's not true. Ad kan leikam Rabbi Kiva hacha. Until now, said Rabbi Kiva over here by Arba Minim, the Ba'inan Hadar Veleka. Because it's not that it's not a fruit. Maybe Rabbi Akiva held it is a fruit. But because it's not really very ripe, finish the sentence, it's not Hadar. It's certainly not a beautiful Esrog. She's still too young for you, Josh. Really not beautiful yet. She's cute, but she's not beautiful. It's not Hadar. It's not ripe yet. Wait, so you hear that? So that would be a very different principle. There's no Din Hadar by Meiser. You with me on that? There's no Din Hadar by Meiser. But by Esrog, we know that it's Hadar. So by Meiser, what's the principle? It's not a fruit. So maybe Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbi Kiva agrees with the Chachamim. It is considered a fruit. But Rabbi Kiva holds it's not Hadar. And Rabbi Shimon, it's not a fruit. It's not a fruit. It's not Chayvin Ma'isris. So maybe they disagree. Wow, it's a good point. Abaye's got a good point. Amal Hasam, but over there, by Ma'isr, Rabbanan Sfira, he holds about the Rabbanan, that it's Chayvin, just because it's a fruit. Inami. Or another possibility, or also ad kan leikam Rabbi Shimon Hasam. When Rabbi Shimon said that it's not ripe and therefore it's exempt from Ma'isris, that's Ella Dichsiv, because it says in the pasuk Aser Taser, you shall take Ma'isr, es kol tevuas zarecha, to all of the produce of your seeds. It has to be the way that people are take it out for zriya, for seeding. What does that mean? In other words, what's going on in the Gemara? The Gemara is trying to say something. We have to figure out how the Gemara is saying it. What's the Gemara trying to say? The Gemara is trying to say maybe Rabbi Shimon holds it really is considered a fruit. Right? So until now we assume Rabbi Shimon held is not a fruit. And that's why it's exempt from Isis. Now we're going to try to work it out the opposite. How could you argue... Oh, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You guys have a blessed day.
Oh, we will now.
Enjoy, guys.
We're assuming Rabbi Shimon holds that it is considered a fruit now. Wait a minute. If it's considered a fruit, why is it exempt from... Meiser. So how is the Gemara saying that? What's the Gemara's idea? Benji, you have it for us? What's the Gemara's idea why it would be a fruit, but exempt from Meiser? By Esrog, we have it by Rabbi Akiva. Because it could be an Esrog, it could be a fruit, but it's not Hadar. Okay? But there's no Din Hadar by Meiser, so why would it be that it is a fruit, but there's no Chiyuv Meiser yet? Apparently, there's some limitation on Meiser. You don't have to separate Meiser until is at some level of maturity. Why in the world would you say that? Where do you get such a concept from? So the Gemara is trying to find one in Rabbi Shimon. So what does the Gemara find? Then you have it? Yeah. It doesn't say you should take maizes from all of your grain. It says the grain of the seeds. What do I mean the grain of the seeds? I mean, yeah, grain grows from seeds, but it's not seeds anymore. Why does it have to say tuvas zarecha? The produce that you planted? The seed, why does it mention seeds? You hear the question? So what's the answer? Rabbi Shimon learns, kiderech shebnei adam maitzien lezriya. It has to be the same type of thing that people take out for seeding. What does that mean? Ben, do you have it?
Year to year type of thing?
What?
I'm going to understand too. People take it out of the field for sowing. One is not obligated to try the unripe fruit that is not suitable for planting.
Why would it be that it's not ripe enough for maestris yet? Because there's a din in maestris that it has to be able to produce its own seeds. It has to be able to reproduce. It's another way of saying it has to be a ripe fruit. A ripe fruit that has nice seeds already, theoretically, I don't know how well this works in germinating the seeds or whatever, but theoretically, if you take a fruit that's mature and ripe and you plant it in the ground, because it does have seeds and pits and whatever within it, it has the potential to start and grow another one. But if you take something that's not ripe yet, then the seeds and pits inside will not generate another one. Not sure. It's a good question. But what Rabbi Shimon is saying for our purposes, that we get. But it's a good question that you're asking. But maybe here, he holds like the Rabbanan, that it's considered to be a fruit, and therefore, no problem. That certainly would be something that would be valid for an Esrei.